the snowflakes fall as winter calls, and time just seems to fly.
Friends, I've been shooting and hunting with CVA muzzleloaders a long time. They are, in my opinion, the best muzzleloaders on the market. But did you know CVA also makes a very fine line of centerfire rifles, built to last and super accurate? Been hunting with those for several years. Check them both out, the muzzleloaders and the centerfires, online at CVA.com. Folks, I want to introduce you to some good friends of mine at Dash for Cash Pawn Shop in Sigerville, Texas, located at 133 Hall Street. The phone number is 972-287-3121. Go by there and talk with Gary or Randy, the owner. They're great people. They've got some great prices. Again, that's the Dash for Cash Pawn Shop, Sigerville, Texas, 972-287-3121. Well, folks, you know the name of our show is Catfish Radio. What do you say we talk about catfish a little bit with somebody that knows a whole bunch about catfish, and that's my friend, Guy David Hansen, down at Tewakinee. David, thank you for being with us, buddy.
Always a pleasure, Luke.
Always glad to get you on, and we've fished together and hunted together and been friends for a long time now. And I know that this is one of your prime times of the year for putting people on catfish for several reasons. It hadn't locked in on 102 degree days every day. And plus, I've been seeing the posts that you put up, especially on Tewakinee. And folks, if you're listening to this as a podcast, after all of our great radio stations run it, Tewakinee is located east of Dallas about an hour, and it is a catfish hotspot. So a lot of blue catfish, what we call eater-sized blues, and I've seen some big ones that you've got in the mix, David, there at Tewakinee.
Yes, sir. Things are still in well, let me, how do I say that? The bigger fish are still biting. Most people have turned off the bigger fish looking for, you know, the fast eater bite.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can, you know, there's places I can pull up on the lake, got full people, I'm catching 100 fish in 2-3 hours.
Yep.
But I tell people, and I prefer to go and look for the bigger fish. The action's not as fast some of the time. A lot of the time, it's so fast I can't keep up. And the fish are running, you know, from 10 to 20, 30 pounds, and you catch a bigger one occasionally.
Yep.
But the bite is steady and, you know, very productive. And the quality, you know, speaks volume or speaks loud, you know.
Yep.
And that's what I like. You know, anybody can go catch a bunch of little ones. I like to search out those spots that I can sit there, and when that rod pulls down, that tail comes out of the water, and water go 5 foot in the air, I'm all about that.
Yes, sir. Me too. It'll make you come back for more, you know.
Yep.
A lot of it, I guess, is shallow, fairly shallow water.
Uh-huh. Sunday, I was fishing 2.5 foot of water and caught fish as shallow as 1.5 feet.
I'll be, yeah. Well, I wonder, right now, the shad, I guess I can't say this firsthand because I haven't been down there yet this year, but the shad hatch, are they up on the bank early in the mornings now, the shad?
Oh, by the millions.
That's,
I mean.
And that, folks, that's why, David, that's what he's talking about. That's why the blue catfish are, not only blue catfish, David, but every species in the lake starts hammering those shad when they get up shallow, doesn't it, you know?
Well, that last trip Sunday, we caught 6 sand bass in 2.5 foot of water.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And channel cat.
Yeah.
Well, you know, occasionally I'm catching a largemouth bass.
Yep. Everything, you know? Every species is up there for the easy pickings on those shad.
Yes, sir.
That's one of my favorite times. How long? I want to assume that you're going to get on the water early. I don't know this, but are you going to start off pretty early?
Well, right now, you don't really
Doesn't
have
matter.
to.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're looking for the fast bite, early is the best.
Yeah.
Well, because that sun goes to break, and you go up. If you're driving across the lake and you look over on the bank, and those bigger white cranes that they look like a blue heron, but they're solid white.
Yep. Uh huh.
They'll be sitting on the north shore of a south-facing point, lined up side by side.
Yep.
You can pull up there in front of those birds, set up, and throw out there in front of them, and just as soon as it hits the water, you're catching them 3 to 4 pounders.
Hammer.
Or a pound and a half to 4 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can just fill the box up sitting there in one spot.
That's my kind of fishing right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you going to get better tasting fish? And you know that there's always a controversy, David, and we've discussed it many times. I like catfish, period. You know, there's the thing. Well, I think most of it is just hearsay or things that people have heard. But you got your, okay, a blue catfish, the meat is snow white. It's got a bloodline down the middle like every fish, but mostly if you trim it, you know, you can get snow white fillets. Well, a channel cat is not like that. He's going to have, if he's been eating pretty good, the yellow on the outside of the fillet there around the perimeter. That, I used to think, I've trimmed it all off, you know. I've cooked them. I'm not talking about big channel cat. I'm talking about pound and a half to 3 pounds. Those... There's really no need to trim that yellow. It's not. I'm not sure if that's fat. I've read that it's not really fat, but it doesn't give it a bad taste. Now a big one, you know, say a 8 or 10 pound channel cat, I probably would trim that. But you can just fillet those small ones. I don't think it adversely affects the flavor myself. You know.
Now, when I was growing up, you know, we didn't have blue cat and twat.
No.
And Daddy's the only thing Daddy would do, other than just skin them, is right down the center of a channel cat's back. There's a strip of fat,
mm-hmm.
Right on the top. And,
yes.
And being that we didn't fillet, he would take his knife and V that piece out on top of that back. And that's the only thing he ever trimmed off of him.
Right at the very top, from say the middle of the spine, where the spine would be on either side. I'll be. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's where the fat is. Right. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, you talk to a lot of people when they fillet channel cat, first thing they do is throw them in white vinegar.
Yeah.
Trying to soak that color out. Well, that doesn't do nothing give them a wang after you fry them. And the best thing to get your fillets in it ready to eat is put them in a bucket, stick or cooler, stick that water hose in there and let it circulate.
You bet. Yes.
And when all that water turns perfectly clear, those fillets will be beautiful, no blood, no oil left in them. And if you get an off-putting taste, it's not because you didn't do it right, you know.
I learned that from you a long time, 25 years ago maybe, David. Yeah, just rinse them really, really well. And I don't mean in a sink with your hands, but like you say, when you run that water, and of course, if it's hot weather, you don't want to keep it hot. You want to keep those things chilled down. In other words, after they're rinsed off, put them right on ice. But I think that's a big deal too, David. A catfish in a fish basket or in a cooler, he stays alive a lot longer than a scale fish. They do. They're just tough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they do. But keeping that, keeping them cool, I don't mean necessarily ice cold, but keep some ice around, keep them chilled. I think that's a big thing on the flavor of a catfish, too. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I see posts of people cleaning fish that's already turned colors and their eyes have, you know, got real light.
Right.
And that's not good. I mean,
no.
People that do that, and eventually you hear, well, I don't like fish from some people.
Yes.
It's because they've had fish that hadn't been properly taken care of.
That's true. You know, it's the same with any game meat even. You know, I
Absolutely.
Hunt hogs a lot. pretty even summer and winter. I've got some really good hog hunting close to my house, and I've got to where I'll just set up in the back of my truck in a swivel chair, and I've got it down pretty much to a science, shooting. You know, I'll have me some tea back there, and I, you know, but what I'm getting at, and I wrote a newspaper article about this a couple of weeks ago, I'll have it. Of course, I don't recommend this just for somebody going out hoping to see a hog, but I've got them patterned. I've looked at a trail camera. They're coming in every night. The chances of shooting a hog are 85% when I go out. I mean, I'm fortunate because I can do that close to home. And I'll go out there, and I'll have me 20 pounds of ice in a 120-quart cooler, and I'm going expecting to shoot a hog, but I've got everything I need to process it and, you know, take the, mm-hmm. I just, you know, take the hams off, take the back straps out, leave the rest for the coyotes and the buzzards, you know. And any kind of fish or game, I think a lot of people miss the boat on that. And a lot of folks say, oh, wild hogs, I don't like to eat them. Well, all I got to say is I haven't cooked them for them, or I haven't shot them and took them all the way to the smoker or the whatever. So it's a lot about preparation and knowing what you're doing, David. As far as catfish, I don't know of anybody that's catfish more or learn more about the sport of catfishing than yourself. You grew up doing it, you know, with your dad and mm-hmm. all them. And then when the blues got so popular there in Tawakoni, man, I mean, I like that. I like the fact that you can catch a 4 or 6 pounder regularly rather than a pound and a half channel. I mean, it's a big plus, isn't it?
You know, I like the channel cat and I like catching them.
Yep.
You know, and I do that at Lake Fork for the reason is the quality of the fish.
Yes. Uh-huh.
They are so much bigger down there and so many more in that lake than Tawakoni. It is just unreal, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good place. It is Lake Fork. And folks can book a trip with you. Not that Tawakoni is loaded with channel catfish and blues, but your bigger channels, it's a factor, come from Fork, and you'll take trips over there or Tawakoni. David, we're about out of time. How do they call you if they want to get with you and stack up on some of these catfish fillets?
They can reach me anytime at 903-268-7391.
Well, David, thank you, buddy. And I want to mention, folks, any of our guests, you can go to catfishradio.org. Send me an email. I promise to hook you up with them and, you know, help you make contact. David, we'll get you back soon. Talk about the spawn on catfish. How about that?
Sounds good, man.
Friends, I hope you've enjoyed our show. You know, this is our 20th year to be doing Catfish Radio, and I enjoy doing it now probably more than I did when I first began. It's lots of fun every week. But I want to tell you about a destination, one of my favorite destinations, and it's the Choctaw Hunting Lodge. It's up in southeast Oklahoma, maybe an hour north of Parrish. I don't think it's that far, but it's an awesome place. You can go online to ChoctawHuntingLodge.com and check it out. Beautiful lodge there. Trophy deer hunting on thousands of acres of Choctaw tribal land up there. It's just, if you ever go up there, you will return. A lot of eastern turkey in that part of the country. And probably our closest destination for many Texans to have a real chance to kill an eastern turkey. So that's got that going on. Exotic hunting, hog hunting. If you're an outdoor person, you'd love a visit there at the Choctaw Hunting Lodge. Folks, we are out of time. Make sure and tune in next week and be safe in the outdoors.